I don't know any place that I'd rather be this morning than to be right here with God's people and look at your sweet and beautiful faces. To me, it's kind of like a rose, a flower, beautiful flower the church is. And, you know, it's just good to see God's people come together each Sunday and come for one thing, I hope and pray, to glorify our Lord and our God. You know, God has a purpose for us upon this earth. Now, He had a purpose for His people to come upon this earth. And He said He made us for His glory. And so that's what we want to do this morning is glorify our Lord and our God. I know that we go through trials and tribulation, and sometimes we want to question God about why in the world is this happening to me? Or why, Lord, why me? And, you know, I guess that's human nature to want to question God. But I've learned in my older age and as I grow older that God, He seasons us. He salts and seasons us for times and gives us grace to go through whatever we have to go through. And this morning, that's kind of what I want to speak upon is about God's grace in our lives. And sometimes we forget about God's grace in our lives. I'm sure this week that we've all had some kind of problems this week, I would imagine. But you know what? If we look to the Lord, God's grace, He said, my grace is sufficient. And if we look to God for His grace in our lives, and He gives grace to everyone. And I think that He says in one place that He gives measures of grace. So grace, if you don't know what grace is, and I'm sure most of you do, it's an unmerited favor of God. Unmerited. That means we don't earn it. We don't deserve it. But out of the goodness of God's heart, out of His love, He gives us grace to go through this life. Now, there's nothing surprising to God because the things that we have to go through may surprise us, but it don't surprise God. And sometimes God is either the author of everything that happens or not. We believe in predestination here at Mount Zion. God is not the author of sin. Now, don't get me wrong. But God allows, He either permits or allows things to happen. And so, as we go through life, and you're not going to go through this life without something evil happening in your life or something that we are not expecting. But God knows. He knows before it ever happens to us what is going to happen. If He didn't, then He wouldn't be God. God is all mindful. He knows everything that's going to happen to us in this life. He knows the present, the past, and the future. And He's got it laid out. God doesn't change. You know, we think when we pray that we can change God's mind. But it does not change God's mind. He says that when we pray, we're to pray if it be God's will. If it be God's will. Now, some people say, well, why in the world would we pray then? Why would we pray? Because it is the obedient thing to do. It's obedience unto God. And some people say, well, you mean God don't hear our prayers? Yes, God hears our prayers. Yes, and He gives us, listen, to me, prayer comes down from God to us. We have the unction to pray. I'm talking about true prayer. True prayer. It comes down from God to us, and it goes back to God from which it came. When you're in the mind of prayer, in the spirit of prayer, and the Spirit teaches us to pray, and we are to pray, God says we are to pray. His people are to be a praying people, and I believe we at Mount Zion are praying people because We talk about it a lot. I hope that it's not just talk, but we need to, you know, it's not just talk the talk, but we're to walk the walk too. So we are to pray for one another. We are to pray for everything. The Lord says we are to pray about all things. Now, that don't mean that we're not that we're to pray about coming to church and stuff like that. But we are we know that that is God's will, because he said, forsake not the assemblings of ourselves together, some have and fallen away. So there's things that we don't have to pray about, that God has given us knowledge that we need to do, that we ought to do, because I believe it is a commandment of God. There's many commandments in the Bible that God gives us, you know, and we are to do what God says do. And so this morning I want us to turn to the third chapter of the Philippian letter, and I want to preach a little bit on how this all pertains to grace. It all pertains about being strong in the Lord, and we can't be strong in the Lord without the power of God within us. Without the power of God within us, we can't be strong in the Lord. I'm talking about strong spiritually. We all need to have growing pains in the Lord, because as long as we live in this timely world, we need to grow in the grace of God. We need to grow in the power of God. We need to grow in the knowledge of God. We'd never get too wise or too smart to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nobody that knows the whole Word of God except the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows what every word means, and we try to interpret. And I, you know, when I read the Word of God, I ask the Holy Spirit to help me interpret God's Word. Because God forbid, I don't want to teach God's people wrong. And some people say, well, you know, I've been asked sometimes why I don't preach on revelations, why I don't preach on some of the stuff that I don't preach on. Well, God hadn't revealed it unto me fully. I may have some suspicion or some idea what I think, but I don't want to teach it to God's people until I'm absolutely sure that that's the way it is. Because you're not supposed to teach God's people any falsehoods. He says the truth, we are to preach truth, and the truth will set us free. I want to see God's people free in what they're thinking about and what I preach about. I don't want to see any doubt in God's people's mind of what we are teaching. So this morning, as I read about the Apostle Paul from the third chapter of the Philippian letter and writing to the Philippian church here, the Apostle Paul writes, and Paul was Paul was in prison at Rome at this time. He was in prison at Rome, and Nero, the evil ruler, was causing havoc among God's people, or the Christians, and he was killing people and killing Christians, and he had lost his mind. He never did have very much of a mind, because he was an evil man. But Paul was a ruler at Rome, and he was evil and ungodly and trying to do away with Christianity at this time. And he had the Apostle Paul was in prison. And he tried to do everything under his power to change people's minds about the teachings of Christ. He was a murderer. He tortured people to get them to not profess the Lord Jesus Christ. But all of these people, I would say 99% of them, was full of the glory of God. They was full of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they would not deny, especially the Apostle Paul, would not deny Christ as his Savior, as Christ the King. Nero wanted, He was the king. He wanted to be worshiped. But Paul stood strong in the Lord. By the grace of God, Paul stood strong in the Lord. I can't find any time, and I know I say this over and over. Here was a great man of God who stood strong in the Lord through his whole ministry, when he was chained on the road to Damascus. He never looked back. He never looked back. He looked forward. He says, he said that he went forward to preach the word in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, I strive toward the mark of the high calling which God has called me for and to, and he is going to do what God is calling to do. Now, let me say this. I believe that we have the same God today. He is just as powerful today as he's ever been, ever and ever. The everlasting God has all power. And he gives us power. And he gives us the things, the tools that we need to go through this life and to be strong in the Lord by his grace. Grace, you know, grace is, to me, is a stabilizer in people's lives. It's a stabilizer, and it gives us knowledge, and it gives us power to be able to go on in this life. You see, the struggles of the world, we have struggles, but we have somebody to help us through those struggles by his grace. The world has no grace. They don't know about grace. They see all of the things that happens in the world, and they see all the wonderful things that God does. Yes, God reveals them, but they don't know God. You know, just to be able to get up each morning and to breathe out our breath and to be able to look out and see the wonderful things that God has made and his grace in our lives, to be able to view the beauty of the Lord and his grace. What a wonderful blessing this is to us. What a wonderful way to be able to just to each morning, even though we got trials and tribulations in our lives, and we can say, glory to God. Glory to his majesty, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings who rules and reigns over this whole weary world. Glory to God that he's in control. And glory to God that we know about his grace and his love, and it comes unto us, and it comes into our bodies, this living body. He says, this is the temple of God where the Holy Spirit dwells, and we are to treat it good. I'm afraid sometimes we don't treat our bodies too good. I know back in I try to treat it better now than I used to. But sometimes, you know, we eat things that we shouldn't eat, and we do things that we shouldn't do that's harmful to the body. I never will forget one time somebody had asked Brother Jimmy. He was up here, and they said, you think you're going to hell if you smoke? And Brother Jimmy says, well, maybe not, but it sure make you smell like you've been there. Yes, there's things that we do are harmful to our bodies, but it is the temple of God. It is where the Holy Spirit dwells, where we feel the grace of God in this body. Paul says, but what things were gained to me? What things? Now listen, I want you to listen this morning what the Apostle Paul said, and he's down in the deepest dungeon of this prison. And it's not like a prison is nowadays. These prisons had rats, they had bats, they had, it wasn't a very comfortable place. There was no comfort in these prisons. They didn't have a bed to sleep on. They slept on the ground. And most of the time, they would take their shoes, and a lot of times they'd even take their clothes away from them and make them sleep naked on the ground. And I'm sure that Nero was this type of man that would do everything in his power to make him so discomfortable. But the one thing that he did have was God and his grace upon him. God and his grace, the warmth of God's grace in Paul's life, kept him and kept him and kept him, and warmed his heart. Even though his body might have been cold, it warmed Paul's heart. You know, Paul preached a lot of sermons from the prisons. Paul was in prison a lot. He wrote most of his books from prison. And I think sometimes that's why God allowed him to maybe be in prison as much as he was, because he was meant to write the Word of God. And if he'd been out of prison, he'd been probably too busy to do much writing. But you know what? I think about this too. He says, I am a prisoner of the Lord. Paul says, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. He couldn't get away from it. Well, he didn't want to get away from it. I don't know any of God's people that wants to get away from the Lord. If you've been born again of the Holy Spirit and seen the loving grace of God, you want to continue feeling that in your life. I want to enjoy the joy of being able to feel God's grace in my life, to be able to feel the joy of my salvation, and salvation is by the grace of God. You know, you don't earn salvation. You had nothing to do with your salvation. A lot of people say, well, if I be good and I do this and I do that, I'm going to heaven. That's not the way it is. God chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. The Bible says that. That's not just Brother Roger saying that. The Word of God teaches and says that over and over again. And Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. And we are what we are by the grace of God. If we have any good within us, it's because God put it there by His grace. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. You see, his every thought was about the Lord Jesus Christ. His every power was about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he knew about Christ. And he knew a whole lot about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that he was called up to the third heaven and was taught of the Lord. He didn't have to go to no theologian school to be able to preach about the Word of God. You know why a lot of people go to these theologian schools? You know why they go there? Because they're looking for a big church that they can pastor and get paid a lot. Us old Baptists don't do that. We get paid by the Lord. He is our paymaster. We get our blessings from the Lord. It's a blessing for me to be able to get up before God's people and teach God's people about the Lord, teach him about Him. It's a blessing to me to be able to speak the words that He gives me to speak. It brings joy to my heart. It's a blessing to me to be able, my eyes to be able to view and behold the beauty of the Lord and to behold the Lord's people when I preach to them. It's a great blessing to me just to be able to do that. And Paul goes on to say, yea, doubtless, and I count all things. He didn't say part of the things. Paul gave up everything in life. Paul could have been a wealthy man. And I think that he probably was kind of wealthy at one time before he met the Lord on the road to Damascus and was changed because he was a tax collector. He says, and all things but loss, but for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Christ Jesus, my Lord. You see, it's personal with him. It's personal with you. You know the Lord personally. You know, I seek God. Oh, when I come out of my bed every morning, the first thing that I do, I seek the Lord. I go to my prayer mode, and I try to pray to the Lord every morning when I wake and thank Him for all the grace and the blessings in my life, in my family's life, and in your life, because I see the grace of God in each one of you's lives. If we just open our eyes and look, we see those beautiful things, the grace of God in our lives. You're breathing this morning. You're in the land of the living, and you know about the Lord. That's grace. There's a lot of people don't have an ounce of grace in their lives. Oh, it says that the rain falls upon the just and the unjust. Yes, they see those blessings, but they don't know where that's coming from. They don't know how to give glory to God. We do, because we have the Spirit of God, and we know how to praise Him and to honor Him. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss. He wasn't worried about anything else in life but serving the Lord. He says, for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. Aren't you glad this morning that you know about the Lord? That you know that He is the Lord of lords. And the only way that you can really know that is that you have the Holy Spirit within you. You've been born again of the Holy Spirit. Oh, there's lots of people in this world that has a head knowledge of God, but they don't really know God. I want to know Him more. That was Paul's prayer in his life. He wanted God to give him all the grace that He could give him so he might know more about Christ his Lord. That should be our prayer and our life, that we want to know more about the Lord, know about Him, and to be able to our hearts to vibrate and to jump up and down, our hearts to glorify God, to have more knowledge about Christ Jesus our Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. All things. Would you be willing this morning to give up everything you had? Everything that you have to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Here was a man that did. Here was a man that was willing to do anything that God had called him to do, because he knew that the Lord would take care of him. Now, I'm sure the Apostle Paul, many times without food, as he traveled around over Minor Asia preaching the gospel and the many churches that he went to. But when he got to that church, there was always something waiting for him. Those folks at each church where he would go, he would write a letter most of the time telling them that he was coming. And I'm sure that Paul probably packed a meal to go with him, but it took a long time sometimes to get, because they walked. He walked. I wonder this morning, if you got up, would you walk to church this morning? It'd been kind of nippy out. Of course, they don't have this kind of cold weather that over there that we have here. But it does get cold over there, maybe not as cold as it does here. But I'm sure that Paul slept on the side of the road because he talks about it in the Word of God. He says what trials that he went through. The Lord said, Paul, as he called him when he was called on the road to Damascus, when he was changed, the Lord said he knows not what he's going to have to go through or suffer. We know not what we're going to have to go through or what we're going to have to suffer. But Paul knew, after the Lord had changed him, that His grace was sufficient. So God's grace, don't never think that God's grace is He's coming short, because God's grace is sufficient in everything that He takes us through in this life. His grace is sufficient. If we'd only remember that sometimes in our lives when we're going through trials and tribulation, we forget about the grace of God sometimes, don't we? And then when we come out and they say, and we seem like sometimes we're so surprised. Oh my goodness, I come through that. How did I get through that? Only by the grace of God. A question was asked me when I was down at New Hope one time, and they knew what a kind of a rounder that I used to be. And some of my friends were there, a lot of my friends were there, and that one of the guys asked me, he said, how in the world did we ever get this far? How, you know, it's a wonder we're not dead, the things that we used to do. I said, by the grace of God. By the grace of God, we've come this far. And by the grace of God, we'll go further. It might not be till tomorrow, and it might not be till 1 hour from now. But by the grace of God, we'll go on. By the grace of God. And Paul knew this. He said, I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. That I may win Christ. Listen, I'm going to tell you, this morning I want my life to be better, don't get me wrong, but I wouldn't give anything for what I have this morning. Somebody could sit, you know, they got this big lottery going. 80 million, I think it's up to a billion, or it's going to be. But they could set that $1 billion in front of me and say, you can have it all. I might be tempted, but I think I could say, no, if you just, if we can take away what you have in Christ Jesus, I say, no, I want to keep what I got. I want to keep the Lord in my heart. You can have all the money in the world and not be happy. As we see people who has a lot of money and you see people who have won these big lotteries and things and have went out. And I had a friend of mine won $1 million, lives over in Hammond. Within 1 year, he's flat broke. He's flat broke because he went out and bloated. He's still unhappy. Still unhappy today. I see him every once in a while. He don't know the Lord. He's unhappy. Give me Jesus. Give me what I have. I don't want to trade it for anything. I want what I've got, and I want more of it. My prayer is, Lord, give me more. I want more of the Lord's grace. I want to be able to feel the essence of God's love in my life. And sometimes God removes the things that would, the barriers that go up, the evil things that goes up to keep that love from coming in to me, and God wipes it away, and I can feel His love and His grace, and I'm happy. I'll tell you this morning, I'm one of the happiest people in the world. I'm happy. Even though I've got trials and trouble, I'm happy because I know of God's grace. I know that He is the Lord of Lords, and He is the King of Kings. I'm happy in the Lord. I'm happy I'm where I am because this is where God meant for me to be, I think. So I glorify God this morning. I glorify Him with all of my heart. I don't, as David says, we don't want to worship God half-heartedly. We want to worship Him wholeheartedly. To be able to feel the very essence of God in your life, to be able to feel the very loving grace that He has for us in our lives. I want to take hold and reach out and take hold of all the grace that I can get a hold of because I need it. I need it. We all need it. Paul says over in Romans, the 8th chapter, 18th verse, he says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worth to be even talked about. But it's worth glorifying God. Even under the stress that we're under this in this old weary world, we glorify God because that's what God wants us to do. Glorify Him. God says He'll watch over us and protect us. He says, you know, I've said this so many times about Job and his life, how God turned, he pitched the devil right on Job. Let him loose. All of Job's enemies come against him. What happened? Job glorified God through all of these things. Even his friend says, won't you just curse God and die? Or his wife said, won't you curse God and die? His miserable friends told him that he had sinned against God, and this is why that he was having so many problems. That wasn't why Job was having. God gave him these things to suffer because he knew how strong Job was in the Lord. He knew how how Job held on to God's grace, and he could go through all the trials and tribulations that would come against him. God turned loose all the enemies, these warring people who lived on the outside. God had him fenced in for a while. These people couldn't get into him. But when God removed the hedge, everything come against Job. But he still glorified God. In all of these things, Job was faithful to God. And at the end, he blessed Job multiple, many more times than what he had at first. That's why when we go through things that we have to go through and we come out on the other side and we're refined, you know, and like gold, and we come out on the other side and we say, oh, I'm kind of glad that that's over. I'm sure Job said, I'm glad that that's over with, but oh, how good it is now. How good to know that God in His grace brought us through all these trials and tribulations, and we come out on the other side a lot better off, because I tell you why you're better off, because you can feel the essence of God in your life, and you know going to know how better to handle things if it comes up on you again. And it is a test. God already knows how strong we are. Sometimes we don't know. Sometimes we don't know how strong we are. I can do all things through Jesus Christ my Lord. That's what the Bible says. I can do all things through Jesus Christ my Lord. That's grace, brothers and sisters in Christ. That's grace. How powerful grace is. And he goes on to say in the ninth verse, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Which is of God by faith. If you have faith this morning, it's not your faith. Now, I know all of the other Most of the other denominations and other churches preach that you got to have faith. If you don't have the faith of God that God has given you, humanistic faith is not worth 2 cents. Spiritual faith is what the faith here is talking about. You can't gain spiritual faith unless you're a child of God. Do you have faith this morning that in the Lord? Do you have that faith this morning? If you do, it's because God gave it to you. It ain't because you worked it in yourself. God gives us all. He says everything, every good thing comes down from God out of heaven. Every good thing. Nothing bad. Every good thing. Our faith is from God. If you have spiritual faith this morning, that you know you've been saved and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that heaven is going to be your home. You're going home to live with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know that in your heart, then you have the faith of God. People slander and talk about faith like, oh, I've got faith. I've done this myself. I've got that faith. But that's not the way it is. God works in you both the will and to do whereby we come unto Him crying, Abba, Father. It's his faith, not our faith. And then Paul says that I may know him, that I may know him. He wants to know him better. That should be our prayer every day of our life. I want to know the Lord better every moment, every day of my life. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made comfortable unto his death, giving me godly power, giving me the power within me to know about the Lord, to know more about him, to know more about the Lord's his death and his resurrection, to know more about the Word of God, to study out the Word of God and the Holy Spirit teaching us, the Lord teaching us. If by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead, you know, the resurrection of the dead, the Lord is going to raise the dead. Now it says that the spirit and soul goes back to God from which it came, but the body goes to the grave. But one of these days, the Lord is going to raise the body too. There's no in between. When he raises the body out of the grave, it says that we'll be joined with our spirit and soul, and there's a difference between the spirit and the soul. The spirit comes from God. Every man has a soul, but not every man has a spirit. Not every man has the spirit of the Lord. A lot of people don't realize that. They think the soul and the spirit is the same thing. It's not. Because every man has a soul, but not every man has the Spirit of the Lord. So when he raises us up out of the grave, the body and the spirit and the soul will all be joined back with the body, I believe. He says it will. And we'll ever be with the Lord. And we'll ever be praising him forever and ever. Now there's some people not going to have that blessing and that grace in their life. Some people's going to be in everlasting torment. Everlasting torment. Did you stop and think about that? That makes cold chills run all over me. Not that I think I'm going to be in everlasting torment, but to think about something like that. Everlasting torment. Paul goes on and he writes that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and being made comfortable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He wants to be raised. He knows he's going to be raised. Not as though I had already attained. He's still alive. He says he hadn't attained that physically yet. Either we're already perfect. He's not perfect, but when we go to heaven to be of the Lord, we're going to be perfect. We'll be perfect. You know, sometimes Barbara says, "You're not perfect." Well, I know I'm not perfect, but I'll be perfect one of these days. I'll be perfect. I'll be sitting with the Lord, I believe. And I'll be perfect. I'll have a new body. A new life. But he goes on to say, but I follow after, if that which I am, I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me. Forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forth by, and I'll kindly add this to this, by the grace of God, reaching forth, by God's grace and by God's power, reaching forth unto those things which are before me. As a soldier of the cross, we are soldiers of the cross. Reach out, grasp. Grasp the goodness of God. Grasp the honor that you have to worship God. Grasp the grace of God. Hold on to it for dear life. because it is precious. It's precious, and God meant for it to be precious to us. As I said before, grace is a stabilizer in our life, and if we want stabilization in our life, we don't want to be unstable. He says an unstable man is unstable in all his ways. You know, the perfect love, he says, perfect love and perfect grace stabilizes us. So we grasp hold, and we grasp hold that grace, and we want it in our lives, and it's a stabilizer for us. And listen to what Paul says as a great soldier of God. He says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Persistence. No compromising. A lot of times God's people want to compromise. They want to compromise the gospel. They want to put things into it that's not there. They want to compromise serving the Lord. They want to compromise. Well, the world's doing this. Maybe it won't hurt me to do it a little bit. The world's doing that. No compromising. People want a religion today. They want to be religious that agrees with the world. God doesn't agree to that. God does not have nothing to do with that. And you'll be miserable if you try that. But we want truth in our life. We want true religion in our lives. Theologians, this theology, world theology, man's theology. Well, we can't compromise truth. God's Word is the absolute truth. God's Word is the absolute truth, not man's theology. I want God's theology in my life. I want God's grace in my life. What purpose do we have, you know, in this old weary world? To serve the Lord Jesus Christ with our whole heart, not half-heartedly. I want to serve Him. I want to serve Him more. You know, we sang that song, I want to serve Him more. That should be our want to this morning. I want to serve Him more. I want to know Him better. I want to know Him much, much better before I die. So as I close this morning in these things, and as we try to wrap our minds and our knowledge around these things of God, it should be a great purpose to us that we can go through this old weary world, that we can present ourselves as a living sacrifice, as Romans says over in the 12th chapter, I believe it is, that we are to be a living sacrifice, not some walking around dead sacrifice. You know that. How can you sacrifice if you don't think about the Lord, and if God don't? You know, He gives us the mind and the knowledge to be able to do that. Our sacrifice, He says that one place in the Bible, He says, our praise to Him from our lips, not only from our lips, but our heart and our bodies is to be a living sacrifice for the Lord. You know, I see people today who have a religion and they go around talking about the Lord, but they do things that, you know, you wonder about. They do things against God. They do things that in this world that pertains to the world, not of God. We are to be holy and without blame. So I thank you this morning for your kind attention, and I hope and pray that I've said something that would be a benefit to you and to the honor and glory of God. May the Lord bless you is my prayer. Someone have a song? One 154.